آدم عن جارا من موقلات ذي دام أم هبات الريح من تلقاء كاظمة وأومض البرق في الظلماء من إضامي فما لي عينيك إن قلت أكفو فهامتا وما لي قلبك إن قلت أستفيق يا هيمي أيحسب الصب أن الحب منكاتم ما بين منسجم منه ومضطرم لولا الهوى لم تريق دمعا ولا أرقت لذكر الباني والعالم فكيف تنكر حبا بعدما شاهدت به عليك عدول الدمع والسقام وأثبت الوجد خطي عبرة وضنا مثل البهار على خديك والعنام نعم سار طيف من أهوى فأرقني والحب يعترض اللذات بالآلام يا لائمي في الهوى العذري معذرة مني إليك ولو أنصفت لم تلم عادتك حالي لا سري بمستاتر عن الوشاة ولا دائب منحاسم ما حمتني النصح لكن لست أسمعه إن المحب عن العذال في صامم من الفعل الجميل قرى ضيف ألم برأسي غير محتشم لو كنت أعلم أني ما أوقره كتمت سرا بدالي منه بالكاتم من لي برد جماح من غواياتها كما يرد جماح الخيل باللجم فلا تروم بالمعاصي كسر شهواتها إن الطعام يقوي شهوة الناهم والنفس كالطفل إن تهمله شاب على حب الرضاع وإن تفطمه يا فاطم فاصرف هواها وحاذر أن توليه وراعيها وهي في الأعمال سائمة وإن هي استحلت المرعى فلا تسيمي كم حسنت لذاتا للمرء قاتلة من حيث لم يدني أن السم في الدسام واخشى الداس إسام جوع ومن شبع فرب مخمصة شر من التخم واستفريغ الدمع من عين قد امتلأت من المحارم والزم حمية الندم وخالف النفس والشيطان واعصيهما وإنهما محضاك النصح فاتهم ولا تطع منهما خصما ولا حكما فأنت تعرف كيد الخصم والحكام أستغفر الله من قول بلا عمل أمرتك الخير لكن ما أتمرت به وما استقمت فما قولي لك استقيم ولا تزودت قبل الموت نافلة ولم أصل سوى فرض ولم أصوم ظلمت سنة من أحيا الظلام إلى أن اشتكت قدماه الضر من ورم وشد من سغاب أحشاءه وطوى تحت الحجارة كشحا مترف الأدم وراودته الجبال الشم من ذهب عن نفسه فأراها أيام شمام وأكدت زهده فيها ضرورته مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي صلي على محمد وعلى ساداتنا آله وصحبه الكرام محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم نبينا يشاي هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم دعا إلى الله مستمسكون بحبل غير منفصم فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم وكلهم من رسول الله ملتمس غرفا من البحر أو رشفا من الديم وواقفون لديه عند حاده من نقطة العلم أو فإن فضل رسول الله ليس له حد فيعرب عنه ناطق بفمي لو ناسبت قدره آياته عظما أحيا اسمه حين يدعى دارسا لم يمتحنا بما تعيا العقول به حرصا علينا فلم نرتب ولم ناهم كالشمس تظهر للعينين من بعد صغيرة وتكل الطرف من أمامي
فهيم كانت هيريو side is shy, can't correct you. Hamza, can't hear you.
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل على محمد وعلى ساداتنا آله وصحبه الكرام بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته أجمعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم افتح علينا فتوح العارفين ووفقنا توفيق الصالحين وانفعنا اللهم بالقرآن والذكر الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يقربنا منك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا اللهم أعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا وأصلح لنا شأننا كله لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. مازن حسين. This is your second class. سيف عمر محمد. How many people didn't have their names here? Missed the class should review it. If they are coming irregularly, should review it with another class, with another classmate or friend here. قال الإمام البوصيري رحمه الله تعالى عنه ونفعنا به وبكم آمين. والنفس كالطفل إن تهمله شب على حب الرضاع وإن تفطمه ينفطم فاصرف هواها وحاذر أن توليه إن الهوى ما تولى يصم أو يصم وراعها وهي في الأعمال سائمة وإن هي استحلت المرعى فلا تسم كم حسنت لذة للمرء قاتلة من حيث لم يدر أن السم في الدسم واخشى الدسائس من جوع ومن شبع فرب مخمصة شر من التخم واستفرغ الدمع من عين قد امتلأت من المحارم والزم حمية الندم وخالف النفس والشيطان واعصهما وإنهما محضاك النصح فاتهم ولا تطع منهما خصما ولا حكما فأنت تعرف كيد الخصم والحكم. Line number 18. والنفس كالطفل. Al-Imam al-Busiri continues describing an-nafs and how an-nafs, one's ego and one's own soul that calls for fulfilling its desires, is like a baby. وَالنَّفْسُكَ الطِّفْلِ, he says here. From one aspect, babies, if you let them grow being breastfed, they get accustomed to breastfeeding till they grow young enough, above 2 years. Babies should be weaned around 2 years, because breastfeeding babies is valid for 2 years. This is the time when breastfeeding is useful and of some benefit or great benefit to babies. If they are suckled after 2 years, it doesn't count from a Sharia point of view. If a woman gives milk to a baby within 2 years, younger than two, it becomes her son. Above 2 years, it doesn't become her son. So within 2 years, mothers usually start weaning their babies, preparing them for food to eat, ordinary food, and they start minimizing the amount of milk they give from their breasts. Yet if they leave them without training them, without giving them ordinary food, and they just forget and they give them milk from their breasts, babies grow with this habit of getting the breast of their mothers and not getting accustomed to eat food. However, in weaning babies, there is a lot of pain. Pain for the babies and pain for the mothers who are watching them crying. But they can't, for the best benefit of the babies, they have to let them suffer for some time in order to grow up getting to accustomed to eat ordinary food. So he says here, وَالنَّفْسُكَ الطِّفْلِ. This is tashbih, simile. An-nafs is like a baby. When we talk about an-nafs here, we could talk about an-nafs that calls for desires. The inherent habit for fulfilling one's own desires, passions, unceasingly, continuously, without stopping at any barrier. This is the case of an-nafs. There is no point where an-nafs stops when you want to fulfill its desires. إن تهمله أهمل يهمله. If you let it, if you neglect it, literally, أهمل يهمله is to neglect, not to give attention. شبّ, شبّ, to grow up, to grow up and become شاب. شاب is a young man. شبّ يشبّ, شبّ يشبّ, to grow up. There is a proverb in the Arabic language, من شبّ على شيء شاب عليه. If you grow up with the habit of doing something, you become old while doing it. You can't rid yourself of it if you grow up with the habit. This is why we need training. If we are led to our habits, we just live our own life as we wish, as our nafs wishes, without any barriers. This is why we need to struggle to get rid of the habits. من شبع على شيء شابع عليه. Here comes the role of the sheikh, the master, the guide, who tells you where to stop. And often we get more benefit from the sheikhs than from reading the text of the Quran or the hadith or the authors on tasawwuf, because we come across commonly commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they come from someone we know and we respect, we love, usually we abide by this. So شَبَّ عَلَى حُبِّ الرَّضَاعِ. رَضَاعِ is the breastfeeding, from رَضِيعَ يَرْضَعُ. رَضِيعَ يَرْضَعُ. وَإِنْ تَفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِ. فَطَمَ يَفْطِمُ here is to wean, to wean the baby. So وَالنَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ here, النفس becomes accustomed, it becomes a habit for a nafs to do whatever it wants or she wants, like babies. This is the wajhu al-shabah. Wajhu al-shabah is making this similitude in order for us to understand the aspect why a nafs is like a baby, because babies are different in many ways and a nafs is different in many ways, but there is something in common. This aspect is in common, that they both grow up with the habit of doing something, yet we have to stop. We have to stop an-nafs as we stop babies. And we have to let an-nafs sometimes in pain. And we see ourselves in pain because we deprive ourselves from something we love. Yet we have to struggle. And we have to show no mercy. Doctors should show no mercy to their parents when they treat them. It's painful, yet they have to treat them because they know that in the long run, the medication will give the best results. When you get an injection or you give an injection to the baby, especially babies, small babies usually, they get in pain and doctors feel that, well, why should I give an injection to a baby? Babies are crying, yet they know that this is for the best benefit. The same also. They say in the Arabic language, "As-sabru mur," forbearance is bitter. Any medication you take is bitter. It's not something that you take ordinarily, loving it. You take it, you're forced to take it. You have to take it. So there's some pain in taking it. The same also in the case of our nafs. When we try to cure the diseases of our hearts, try to get rid of some habits we have to take the medication, even if it doesn't appeal to us. If all medications appeal to people, the medication becomes like food. People feed on medicines. But you can't, because medicines are made to be bitter, tough to take, out of the ordinary, against one's own taste, taste that you like. So this is why وَالنَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ. So after talking about food in الطعام يقوي شهوة النهم, in the earlier lines when he says having delicious dishes in front of you increases your appetite and you can't stop as long as there are delicious dishes in front of you. It's like babies, you can't stop. The baby itself cannot stop if you don't stop it. So the same your nafs also, you're putting all delicious dishes in front of your nafs, you're going to eat. You're not going to stop till you fall ill, sick. You can't stand up. You can't take any more. So this is why if we live under the control of our nafs, we're going to destroy ourselves, and the reign of our life should be in our soul, not in our nafs. فَصْرِفْ هَوَاهَا, he says here, الْفَأْفَ الْفَصِيحَ. If someone asks, what is the solution then, if this is the case of an-nafs? What is the solution? الفاء الفصيحة أعربت عن سؤال مقدر. The role of this فاء here is it's called the eloquent فاء, because it indicates that there is a question that is omitted. There is a question that is omitted, and the question is, after going through this line, والنفس كالطفل, and nafs is like a baby, someone asks, it is hidden between the fa and what comes after it, what is the answer, what is the solution? So فصرف هواها, he says here, push away its desires and her passions. And nafs could be referred to with she. We don't mean here the soul as the ruh, the spirit that gives life. We mean here the desire. This is why best translation is either the self or the ego within ourselves. فَصْرِفْ هَوَاهَا, from صَرَفَ يَصْرِفُ. وَحَاذِرْ أَن تُوَلِّيَهُ إن الهوى ما تولى يصم أو يصم. From صرف يصرف to push away. Push away the هوى. هوى here, what you like, the passions, what your nafs likes, the inclinations, what she is inclined to do. Push away everything that your nafs calls for. To reach a point, till you reach a point where your nafs calls for al-ta'at and al-ibadat. Because usually our nafs finds its pleasure in dunya, not in deen. Finds its pleasure in earthly matters, not in heavenly matters. Because the body is created from soil. So you have to push all the desires of the nafs till you reach a point when your desires are controlled by your ruh, your soul, rather than yourself and your egos. Then your desires will be spiritual, will be heavenly. You'll feed upon dhikr rather than upon ordinary food. You will find the pleasure in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So push away the desires of the nafs in early stages, in middle stages, in your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your self-struggle, your struggle against yourself. You have to push away all desires. We're talking here about desires that are haram, of course. It's out of the question. And we're talking about desires even that are permitted. Because if you let yourself enjoy the permissible, then the shaitan will be very happy. You're replacing the fard and the wajib by something that is permissible. So doing something that is permissible is not permitted all the time. Because at one point there is something fard, obligatory, you have to perform instead of doing something permissible. So the nafs will be very happy with you doing something permitted rather than doing something haram, instead of doing something haram, but because you're not performing the obligations. In the obligations, there is toughness, it's a burden. So it's always difficult to raise up in the night, to attend jama'ah, it's always difficult to do the obligations for people who are not trained yet, or who don't find the sweetness of al-Iman, who don't find the pleasure in doing al-ta'at, al-ibadat, in being servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you reach a point of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no pain. So we have to struggle in the early stages, middle stages, till you reach a point where you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you find pleasure in everything. And there is nothing that would prevent you from doing anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do. On the way, you have to struggle. In the course of that struggle, you have to push away every desire of an-nafs. فَصْرِفْ هَوَاهَا وَحَاذِرْ أَن تُوَلِّيَهُ. Be careful. حَاذَرَ يُحَاذِرُ. From al-hadhar, al-hadhar is cautiousness. Cautiousness, being cautious. حَاذِرْ أَن تُوَلِّيَهُ here, from وَلَّى يُوَلِّي, to give it authority. To give your passions authority on yourself, over yourself. From walla yuwalli, to appoint someone. When appointing someone, you're giving them authority. And al-wali is governor. Al-wali is a governor. Walla yuwalli tawliyatan. The infinitive is tawliyatan. Walla yuwalli tawliyatan. This is one meaning. There's another meaning. وَلَّا يُوَلِّي, to run away. وَلَّا يُوَلِّي, to run away. وَلَّا ظَهْرَهُ, to turn his back. وَلَّا ظَهْرَهُ, for example. فَصْرِفْ هَوَاهَا وَحَاذِرْ أَن تُوَلِّيَهُ إِنَّ الْهَوَى مَا تَوَلَّى يُصْمِ أَوْ يَصِمِ. The second part of this line is a common statement, is a common fact. He tells us a piece of truth. He says, when passions are in control, they either kill or cause harm, deficiencies. Inna al-hawa, indeed, passions. Ma tawalla, when they get in control, when they have authority on one's self, yusmi, from asma yusmi. Asma yusmi is to kill someone. Asma yusmi. Aw yasimi, yasimi from wasama yasimu. Wasama yasimu, to cause aib, to cause deficiency, defect, to put a stain on someone. Wasama yasimu, wasma, one's own misbehavior is a deficiency, is like something shameful. Maybe the right word is to cause something shameful, so that people are or will be notorious for it, to defame one's personality. فَصْرِفْ هَوَاهَا وَحَاذِرْ أَن تُوَلِّيَهُ. The beauty of Al-Imam Al-Busiri, since he is a Sufi and he was a great arif, a great murshid in the Shadhili path, he describes and gives the remedy. He shows us the way how to control ourselves. فَصْرِفْ هَوَاهَا وَحَاذِرْ أَن تُوَلِّيَهُ. He warns us, push away, always push away the passions of your nafs, and be careful from giving yourself, your passions, authority over your spirit. وَرَاعِهَا وَهِيَ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ سَائِمَةٌ وَإِنْ هِيَ اسْتَحْلَتِ الْمَرْعَى فَلَا تُسِمِ. He says here, and watch over your self. وَرَاعِهَا, رَاعَ, يُرَاعِ, it means here, observe, watch over. رَاعَ, يُرَاعِ. رَاعَ, يُرَاعِ from al-mura'a means to be kind, to be courteous, to be gentle also. From ra'a, the original root is ra'a, yar'a, ra'a, yar'a, and the same root is used for shepherds, ra'a al-ghanama, ra'a al-ghanam, to be a shepherd for sheep. Ar-ra'i is a shepherd, ar-ra'i, ra'a, yar'a. Wa ra'iha, so observe and watch over yourself. Be always careful. Be always vigilant when yourself goes around to fulfill its desires. Your job is to be careful, to watch. And being careful, being aware of what you're doing, is the first step in the process of your improvement. If you want to improve, become better spiritually, in your behavior, in your knowledge, in whatever you're doing, the first step is to be aware of what you're doing. Let's say you want to become healthier. The first step is to watch, to be aware of what you're eating. You want to become a better person. First thing is to watch your behavior, what you do. You want to become closer, you want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to watch your actions. You have to watch yourself. You want to become arif, you have to watch your heart. So watching, observing yourself, being aware of what you're doing at various levels, lead you to be better. Either as a manager, as a businessman, or as a student in life, or as a student of the sacred knowledge while seeking knowledge, or as someone journeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or as someone standing in front of Allah as a wali. Al-Imam Al-Kisa'i rahimahullah ta'ala, a great scholar of linguistics, a great scholar of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, a great scholar of grammar, in second century, he was asked once, what was your job at his deathbed when he was about to die? Someone asked him, how did you manage being righteous? How did you manage? What was your job? What did you do in order to survive in this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, my job was a doorman. I worked as a doorman, standing at the door of my heart. Every time something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to come in, I push it away. Being aware, watching over his heart. So the more careful you are, and the more vigilant you are about your actions, the more you are in control, your spirit is in control, and you come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you count your actions, you stop haram, you increase al-fard, ta'a, what brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wara'iha, al-mura'ah here, observing yourself. Don't just do or behave or sail in the ocean of this life from morning till evening every day blindly, not being aware of what you're doing. And in the evening you go to bed getting tired, not thinking of what you've done, not thinking of what you have to do for the first, for the second day, and you get up in the morning, you go to work, you go to classes, and like a machine, automatically you're not stopping to review your accounts. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala and says, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وزنوا أعمالكم قبل أن توزن عليكم وتزينوا للعرض الأكبر. حاسبوا أنفسكم, hold your selves accountable before you're reckoned. Reckon yourself before you're reckoned. حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وزنوا أعمالكم, weigh your actions before they are weighed against you. وتزينوا للعرض الأكبر, and get in the best outfit for the day you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest day. وراعها وهي في الأعمال سائمة, when your nafs, your body, when you are just doing everything and anything without being aware of it. وهي في الأعمال. In this line, Al-Imam Al-Busiri uses a metaphor. You want to go? Wait. Imam al-Busiri uses in this line a common metaphor for Arabs. When you have camels, sheep, you have to let them feed from grass. So the fields where there is grass provided is called Hima. Hima is a piece of land that is protected for a certain tribe or for a certain person, where he has his sheep or his camels feeding from the grass. A sanctuary. Hima means a sanctuary. Kings, tribes, royalties or celebrities, wealthy people would have their own fields where their camels usually are shepherded. So usually such sheep or camels have to be controlled if there are no barriers, if there is no fence around the sanctuary, al-hima. You have to watch over your sheep because they might cross over to the sanctuary of another person. Or sometimes they might shepherd something harmful. They might feed on something harmful that grows in amongst the grass. So sa'ima means uncontrolled. When the sheep are uncontrolled, they are let to feed upon anything, anywhere, without any fences around the sanctuary, or without observing on what they are feeding upon from the grass, if the grass is not searched and cleaned. So he says here, he uses this metaphor, your nafs is like a camel, like a sheep, and your nafs is looking for grass, for food. Yet you have to control your nafs by putting barriers around your nafs. You put barriers around your nafs where you don't allow her to go right or left or cross. That was very important for Arabs before Islam. And one of the major wars before Islam, Harbu al-Basus, that lasted for 40 years, was caused because someone's, between two tribes, Bakr and Taghlib, it was caused because someone's camels were let in the sanctuary or crossed to the sanctuary of a leader of a tribe, Kulayb Wa'il. So he killed a camel. A camel was killed, and then revenge started, and the war lasted for 40 years. So that was very important for Arabs to respect the sanctuaries of people. Islam continued the same tradition, because when you have a piece of land and it's yours, then no one should tread in your piece of land. Even Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala an had a special piece of land for the camels of Sadaqah, for the sheep of Sadaqah, where they are put and in order to be offered grass to feed, protected from going to people's lands. So sa'ima here, سَامَةِ الْمَاشِيَةِ سَامَة here the verb is سَامَة يَسِيمُ فَهُوَ سَائِم. Notice the verb سَامَة يَسِيمُ, not سَامَة يَسُومُ, سَامَة يَسِيمُ. To let feed on grass without any barriers. سَامَ يَسُومُ, to negotiate the price of something. سَامَ يَسُومُ سَوْمًا. One of its meanings, a common meaning of it is سَامَ يَسُومُ سَوْمًا, to negotiate the price, to bargain. The second line gives more explanation about this image in the mind of the poet. وَإِنْ هِيَ اسْتَحْلَتِ الْمَرْعَى فَلَا تُسِمِ. When your nafs finds the grass or the green or the land beautiful, delicious, sweet, don't let them. Don't let your nafs, as the shepherd doesn't let his sheep cross to the other sanctuary, though the sheep find the grass sweet, delicious, but he has to control them. وَإِنْ هِيَ اسْتَحْلَتْ. استحلَى, to find something حُلُو, sweet, from حَلَاوَة. استحلَى, يستحلي, to find it sweet. In English they say forbidden fruit is always sweet, they say in English. People forget the sweetness of what is allowed, and they always look at the sweetness of what is forbidden. Because a shaitan veils you from the harm of what is forbidden and reminds you only of the sweetness or the beauty, if there is any aspect of beauty. Of course, sometimes there is no aspect of beauty at all. Sometimes there are some benefits in doing something haram. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about wine, He said the harm in wine and in gambling is more than any benefit. وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. Ithm, the sin, the impact of the sin is more than the benefit that may appeal to people, talking to people according to their understanding. Because people sometimes get some sort of lust or pleasure or in a state of ecstasy in doing something, such as drinking wine or type of these things. So sometimes you find it sweet, but it's not. By the end, it's not. Because it appears like being sweet, but the impact in the future is much more worse and bitter than the sweetness of the haram. So in here, استحلى, to find it sweet, from حلو. استحلى يستحلي, to find it sweet, الحلو. المرعى is the piece of land that has green on it, growing for type of lamb, camels, cows, kettles to be shepherded. فلا تسمي, from سامة يسيمو, to let it also, the same verb like سائمة. فلا تسمي سامة يسيمو, أسامة يسيمو, here it's مزيد بهمزة, أسامة يسيمو. The three root verb is سامة يسيمو, the مزيد for letter أسامة يسيمو, to let. That is to say, if you have children and you're looking for the best interests of your children, they eat chocolate, for example, but yet you have to stop them from eating chocolate, though for them it's very sweet. Just a very common example. Chocolate is very sweet, yet you have to stop them. Not chocolate, you have to eat food. So our struggle, our self-struggle, is built upon disrupting our habits. Because if we persist on our habits, we're going to no end. We're going to destroy ourselves. So وَرَاعِهَا, always watch over yourself. Be cautious. Be aware of what you're doing and stop when you have to stop. Of course, it's very difficult to stop on our own. This is why we have to have someone. Let's say, if you get few children to live their own life without people supervising them, guiding them, giving them commands, telling them what to do, would we imagine that kids would brush their teeth every morning, every evening, would wash their hands before food, after food, would watch over their clothes, or would do anything that their parents ask them to do? They won't, if you let them live their own life, after being, of course, dependent on their mothers, let's say from 4 or 5, when they're clean. Try it, or imagine that situation. What type of kids would you have if they have no instructions at all and they are let just to live their own life? It would be terrible. The outcome would be terrible. So the same happens to us when we leave ourselves without any guides, without any masters, without any sheikhs to watch over us or to tell us where to stop, what to do with what we are accustomed to do. كم حسنت لذة للمرء قاتلة من حيث لم يدري أن السم في الدسم. He says here, as a follow-up to the earlier line, how many a time that your nafs beautifies in front of you the pleasures and the lusts that kill you or may kill you, قاتلةً. Because you don't know that poison is hidden in the food, in the most delicious food. كم حسنت here. حسن يحسن is to improve, but here it means to beautify from حسن. From حسن to tell how beauty, to tell how beautiful it is. To beautify. So your nafs now tells you about the pleasures that she wants. She tells you how beautiful they are. As I said, she makes you forget all the disadvantages, all the harm, and reminds you only of the benefits. حسن يحسن تحسينا. You may improve something, you may beautify something, or tell how something is beautiful. لذة is lust, may be translated as pleasure, is a softer word, because in English, as I said before once in one of the earlier classes, there's only one word in لذة in Arabic covers the two terms, pleasure and lusts in the English language. There's of course another word for lust also, shahwa. So لذة is pleasure. للمرء for the person. قاتلة killing, from قتل يقتل. So the first half of this line, he says, how many a time your nafs beautifies in front of you, beautifies for you a pleasure, yet that pleasure appears like a pleasure, in reality it's killing. There's death in it, there's danger in it, but it comes in the form of a beautiful woman. من حيث لم يدري أن السم في الدسم. لم يدري درى يدري, to know, to understand. درى يدري دراية. السم poison. In this context it is poison. When it is used as a medicine, it is venom. So depending on the context. Now it is harmful, so you translate it as poison. But when you take, for example, the venom of snakes for to make medicines, the English word venom. في الدسم, دسم is fat originally, but or not fat actually. It is fatty food. Food that is full of fat, calories, let's say lamb cooked or rice cooked with lots of lamb has all fat in it, or margarine, called dasam. So it's a heavy meal. It's a heavy meal. So what he means here is usually poison is hidden. Hidden in something that is pleasurable, something that is tasty, something that is sweet. Poison is not introduced as poison. If you read politics and how people were poisoned, poison usually is put in the dishes that they love most. So this is the same also happens. Harun al-Rashid, for example, the famous Abbasid Khalifa, Harun al-Rashid, was poisoned. And several also great figures, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, according to one narration, the famous Umayyad Khalifa, who was righteous, was poisoned. Muawiyah the second, son of Yazid, Muawiyah, grandson of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, also was poisoned because he wanted to give the Khilafah to Ahlul Bayt. Was poisoned by the Umayyad princes. So anyway, poison usually is put in something that people like, and the same case here applies on the nafs. Your nafs brings you its the death of your body, the end of your spiritual life. It brings you destruction on the day of judgment, but in the form of beautiful dish, in the form of fulfilling the pleasures, such as talking is so pleasurable. So you talk, conversations, backbiting, lies, swear words, such as looking at beautiful things and then no way to stop. So the sanctuary is crossed, looking at women, haram, TV and so on. So you can have examples from your daily life in as much as you walk around. كم حسنت لذة للمرء قاتلة من حيث لم يدري أن السم في الدسم. Don't forget the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when the Jewish people, a Jewish woman of put poison for him in the arm, the foreshank forearm of the lamb. And the lamb spoke and told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that it is poisoned. And after one of the Sahaba ate, and he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had one morsel, he told the Sahaba to stop, this lamb is telling me that it is poisoned. And the woman was caught. And Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam pardoned her for his own right, and later killed because it died.
واخشى الدسائس من جوع ومن شبع فرب مخمصة شر من التخم.
واخشى, be in fear of, be in fear of. الدسائس, here plural form of دسيسة, deceptions. Also, traps would be a good word. من جوع, جوع, hunger. شبع, satiation. مخمصة is famine. Tukhma is a level over situation, is let me see how Sheikh Hamza is translating this. He says here full, having being full.
He says here, be careful, continuing his advice,
be careful of the traps of your nafs. We are at war and in war with our nafs. This war is going on, and in war there's no law. So your nafs is going to trap you. And al-harbu khud'a, war is deception. So this is allowed in war. Not allowed when there is peace. The moment you have peace with your nafs, you're going to be killed, because your nafs is going to deceive you and trap you, and it has many maneuvers around you in order to convince you rather than in order to persuade you of doing something. So be careful, be in fear of. وخشى, this is the verb of خشية, خشية الله تبارك وتعالى. We have to be in fear of Allah, we have to be in awe of Allah. خشية here, being aware of, being in fear of, fear with awareness. Fear with awareness. Not fear that overwhelms you and makes you shake. This is the difference between خوف and خشية. خوف is a state that overwhelms you. خشية is a state of fear with awareness of what you have to do. وخشى الدسائس, plural of دسيسة, from دس يدس. دس يدس have several meanings. One of them is to insert in, let's say دس السم, to insert poison in the food. دس السم. And دس also means to insert words in one's own speech in order to insult someone, but very gently. Dassa. And dassa is to deceive, but
in a form of a council, the Sisa. And this is what is meant here. So the Sisa comes, the Sisa is something that appears like a council, like a piece of advice, yet there's every harm in it. Would you take an advice from your enemy? No one would. From your business rival? You wouldn't. So you have to be careful not to listen to the counsels of your nafs. وَخْشَ الدَّسَائِسَ. These counsels from your nafs come sometimes in a state of hunger, sometimes in a state of satiation. So he says, وَخْشَ الدَّسَائِسَ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمِنْ شِبَعٍ. Both in a state of hunger and in a state of satiation, your nafs tries to tempt you, to tries to seduce you into doing things that you wouldn't do in a normal situation. That is to say, people do things in a state of need. They don't usually do when they are not. So people are hungry, they do things. They try to get food from anywhere because they need money. So they try to get it through riba, they try to get it through usurping people money and so on. Sometimes they are full. When they are full, they do with what they have eaten, also with the power, with the energy they got. They go out also to do something haram, like beating people or like being with women unmarried or whatever. So they do also things that are haram. So in both situations, in the state of hunger, your nafs seduces you into doing things that are haram. In state of satiation, your nafs seduces you into doing something that is haram because of the situation. And this is what is called in the West situational ethics. Every situation dictates its own ethics. There is nothing called in Islam situational ethics. There is ethics that is divine, revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is applied in all situations. It doesn't change from one time to the other or from a situation to the other. فَرُبَّ مَخْمَصَةٍ شَرٌّ مِّنَ التُّخَمِ. He says, how many a times staying hungry is better than having food? The translation here is, we'll go through inshallah this. An empty stomach can be worse than a full one. I would say here, a state of hunger is better than a state of satiation. Being hungry is better than having enough. If it is on the account of your deen, this is the rest of the line that is unspoken. So having everything you need is not the best solution. Many times you might have to stop and do with what you have, with the little you have, without going further to fulfill your desires. وَخْشَ الدَّسَائِسَ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَمِنْ شِبَعٍ فَرُبَّ مَخْمَصَةٍ شَرٌّ مِنَ التُّخَمِ. Hunger itself is not bad. And satiation in itself is not good. This is absolutely. He's talking about absolute judgments. So hunger is bad if it leads you to transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His injunctions. Being full or being satiated is good if you observe the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the food that you've eaten. This is why our intention when we eat is to strengthen ourselves in the field of ta'a. And in terms of hunger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in one hadith, كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَنْ يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. Poverty may lead to kufr, to transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one aspect. The same also for satiation. When people have enough, they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they forget who provided them. Continuing Continuing his advice, he says, وَاسْتَفْرِغِ الدَّمْعَ مِنْ عَيْنٍ قَدْ امْتَلَأَتْ مِنَ الْمَحَارِمِ وَالْزَمْ حِمْيَةَ النَّدَمِ. He gives us solutions to our problems with our nafs. In the course of our struggle, we need to shed tears. He says, empty your eyes, get tears poured out of your eyes. وَاسْتَفْرِغِ الدَّمْعَ. This eye that has been filled with looking at haram. Because every time you look at something haram, there is a trace in your eye. There is an impact on your eye. You move your hand to beat someone, there is an impact on your hand. You walk to some place that is haram, there is an impact on the member of the body itself. Because these are great bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the faculties, the members that Allah gave us. We need to use them in the best course of ibadah and ta'a. So when you force your hand into something haram, your hand complains against you. When you force your eye to look at something haram, you're using it against the purpose of creation, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to know Him. So they become full of anger against you. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Al-Quran al-Kareem that on the day of judgment, people's hands, people's members of the body come to testify against them. Even people's skins come to testify against them on the day of judgment, because you're forcing your body into things that your body doesn't want to do, and your body was not created for these type of actions. So you have to empty tears from your eyes that have been filled with ma'asiyah, with looking at haram all the time. This means that when you do something haram with one member of your body and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to erase the impact of the sin with that member, you have to do something that is good with the same member of the body. So you looked a lot at haram, look at the mushaf, look at the Kaaba. You oppressed a lot of people with your hand, so help people with your hand. You usurped people's money, give a lot of sadaqah. You said swear words, say a lot of dhikr instead. So do something good with the same member of the body. This is part of the treatment. وَاسْتَفْرِغِ الدَّمْعَ يَسْتَفْرَغَ يَسْتَفْرِغُ has several meanings. One of them is to vomit. Is a sort of, is not classical, is the classical word for it is أَقْيَا يُقِي إِقْيَاءً. But is a modern meaning that developed. استَفْرَغَ, because you're emptying your stomach. الدَّمْعَ مِنْ عَيْنٍ قَدْ امْتَلَأَتْ. Look here at the tibaq between istafraga, imtala'a, opposites. Istafraga, to get empty. Imtala'a, to fill. This is tibaq, nawa' min al-muhassinat al-badi'iyya. Min al-maharimi, things that are haram. Walzam himyat al-nadami. He is using here useful terms. Stay on diet of remorse. Stay on the diet of remorse. This is the best diet for anyone who is repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he talked about hunger, satiation, food, poison, and the seduction of food as an example of what the nafs does, he says here, be on diet. And the best diet is the diet of remorse on what you've done. Imagining the impact of every sin and feeling sorry about the past. وَلْزَمْ حِمْيَةَ النَّدَمِ
وَخَالِفِ النَّفْسَ وَالشَّيْطَانَ وَعَصِهِمَا وَإِنْهُمَا مَحَّضَاكَ النُّصْحَ فَاتَّهِمِ.
He moves on to warn us of the animosity of الشيطان, Satan, alongside النفس. So he says here, وَخَالِفْ, act against. never obey your nafs and the shaitan, because they are your enemies. You never seek their counsel, you never obey them. وَخَالِفِ النَّفْسَ وَالشَّيْطَانَ. خَالَفَ يُخَالِفُ is to act in a different way. وَعَصِهِمَا to disobey. عَصَى يَعْصِي. Opposite of أَطَاعَ يُطِيعُ. خَالَفَ opposite of وَافَقَ. وَافَقَ is to act in the same way. خَالَفَ to act in the opposite way. وَعَصِهِمَا disobey them. وَإِنْهُمَا مَحَّضَاكَ النُّصْحَى. If they give you the best advice, مَحَّضَى النُّصْحَى is to give the best advice. فَاتَّهِمِي, be suspicious of the advice. You never listen to the advice of your enemy. Your nafs and the shaitan are both your enemies. About an-nafs, Allah tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Your nafs will always command you evil, not good. Commonly. So, anyone who commands you evil is your enemy. About al-shaytan, Allah tells us, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Al-shaytan is indeed your enemy. Satan is your enemy. وَإِنْهُمَا مَحَّضَاكَ النُّصْحَ فَاتَّهِمِي. Ittiham here, accuse. Originally it means accuse them. Accuse them. Be suspicious of their advice. اتهم يتهمو. Usually used this like a court term, legal term. اتهام is accusations. ولا تطع منهما خصما ولا حكما فأنت تعرف كيد الخصم والحكم. He continues here. He says, never obey an-nafs and the shaytan, because they appear to you, they are in reality like coming in form of your shaytan is your foe. Khasam is your foe. And an-nafs comes to tell you that, well, she's not your foe, but rather a mediator or someone who gives a verdict. Someone, a referee, like someone who has authority to handle your affairs. So they come not in a form of sometimes in a form of enemies, but they are indeed our enemies, and they won't be looking for your best interests. They will be looking for their own interest. ولا تطع منهما أطاع يطيعوا, to obey of them, منهما of them. خصم is a foe. Hakam is a referee, and may be used as judge also. Hakim, more commonly, Hakim is a judge. فأنت تعرف, you are aware of, you know, كيدا, the mischief. كيد is mischief. الخصم and الحكم, the same words. حكم here, he's using حكم in terms of someone who mediates between two people in order to reach the best solution on the account of you and on the account of the other sometimes. So this is how the nafs appears to you. So never obey your nafs. Never obey a shaytan in what a shaytan tells you to do. After describing an-nafs, you know that the purpose of this section was just as a follow-up on describing his state, the state of the poet himself. If you go to the beginning, it all started with complaints about himself, about his behavior, about his weakness, that he hasn't prepared anything to receive the gray hair on his head. He hasn't prepared any good action. He hasn't done anything good. So he complained, and it's all because he has been under the control of his nafs and fulfilling his desires. So from that point, he went on to describe the impact of obeying your desires, fulfilling the impact of fulfilling your desires, obeying your nafs. So this section was sort of an inserted piece of advice put in the poem for the best benefit of the reader, out of the experience of the poet. And he appeared to us, he appeared to tell us that this advice is given after trial, not only after studying, because he is Murshid and he is Arif, so he has authority to tell us what course of action is better. But from his own experience now he's telling us. So after that he went back to describe his state and how he's getting out of that state of remorse, that state of guilt for what he lost, for what he has done. That he reached above 40 and his hair is gray and he hasn't prepared enough ta'at and ibadat at that age. So going on back to the same subject, he says here, أستغفر الله من قول بلا عمل لقد نسبت به نسلا لذي عقمي. He is seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from one major deficiency. He says, from uttering words but not coupling them with actions. As they say in the English language also, they say actions speak louder than words. So when you say something, you have to prove it in your action. And words only would make you survive on the day of judgment. Ultimately, eventually you survive from the fire by La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But in order to get out of the fire, to get over the fire, not to fall in the fire on the day of judgment, you have to have good actions. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Always combination in the Quran al-Kareem. Those who believe and act righteously. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. O ye who believe, why do you say things you don't do? So don't become a man of words, become a man of action. When you say something, you apply it. So he says, Astaghfirullah, I seek the forgiveness of Allah from uttering words, from making statements but not proving them in actions. Astaghfirullah min qawlin bila amalin. لقد نسبت به نسلا لذي عقمي. Look at the beautiful metaphor in the second part of this line. He says here, I'm claiming that someone who is barren has children. Someone who is barren. Nasl is offspring. Nasl is offspring. And عقم, ذي عقم, a man who is barren. A man of infertility. Would you expect an infertile man to give children? You wouldn't. The same also, words without action are infertile, are barren. They wouldn't give birth. So in order to get the fruit of your words, you have to couple them with actions. لقد نسبت, نسب is to attribute. To attribute something to someone. After all these counsels, he is seeking the forgiveness of Allah, that he is standing in front of you to give you an advice or any advice, as though he doesn't want to claim to be a murshid. He is putting all these counsels in front of you about your nafs and its deceptions, and about the traps of your nafs and the best way to get out of that. Yet he says here, I'm just saying words, I'm not applying these words. I seek the forgiveness of Allah. I'm just uttering words, I'm making statements. yet I'm the first one who is not applying them, not listening to these words. I am claiming to have children, but I am infertile. أمرتك الخير لكن ما أتمرت به. Elaborating more on the same meaning, he says, I'm commanding you good, yet I'm not abiding by it. I'm giving commands, I'm not listening, I'm not abiding by these commands. وما استقمت. I haven't been upright. So how come that I'm telling you be upright? أمرتك الخير. Here, originally أمر is transitive and by the means of a preposition. أمر بكذا. أمرتك الخير. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان. In the Quran الكريم, Allah commands of justice and good. إن الله يأمر بي. So be is the preposition here. But you may in the Arabic language use the verb amara to command without a preposition. So here originally amartuka bil khayri. He says amartuka al khayra. So amara here has two objects. Al kaf is the first object and al khayra is the second object. Lakin yet ma'tamartu bihi, I'm not abiding by it. I'm not following the counsels of the commands I'm giving you. وَمَا اسْتَقَمْتُ. I haven't been upright. فَمَا قَوْلِي لَكَ اسْتَقِمِي. So why should I tell you to be upright while I'm myself not upright? It's the humility, the modesty of the poet, which is a characteristic of the Arifin, the Gnostics, the great guides, the great ulama, who couple knowledge with action together. They never claim that they have reached these states. So when they describe people, when they describe to people the ranks of the righteous people, they never claim that they have reached these ranks. And when they describe to people or warn people from the ranks of the unrighteous, they claim first that we are the people who have these states, and we are describing ourselves, we are just reminding ourselves. Then he says, وَلَا تَزَوَّدْتُ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ نَافِلَةً وَلَمْ أُصَلِّ سِوَى فَرْضٍ وَلَمْ أَصُمِ. He says, why should I give you any advice? Why should I be in that position while I am myself haven't done anything good extra? وَلَا تَزَوَّدْتُ. تَزَوَّدَ is to prepare food for the journey, to prepare your luggage for the journey. Allah says in the Quran, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Prepare your luggage, the best luggage to prepare for your journey is taqwa. وَتَزَوَّدُوا. That is what people take with them when they travel in the desert, for example. They take water, they take some food. This is zad. تَزَوَّدُوا, your luggage. Prepare your luggage for the journey. قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ. Prepare your luggage for the journey after death. So before death, you have to prepare the journey, the luggage. You prepare for your luggage before you travel. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in this life, there is work, there is no reckoning. In the other life, after death, there is reckoning, there is no work. There is no action. So, عَمَلٌ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ. So you can prepare your luggage as much as long as you're alive before al-gharghara, before your ruh reaches your throat. So he says here, I haven't prepared any nafila, any supererogatory ibadat. وَلَمْ أُصَلِّ سِوَى فَرْضٍ. And I haven't prayed other than my fard. Nor did I pray, or have I prayed, nor have I fasted more than the fard. In this actually there is a very good adab here that we need to remember. He is admitting here that he has done his fard, but he hasn't done anything extra. So it's out of the adab that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability to do a lot of ibadat, try to as they say in the English language, low profile. Try to play it down, not to show off that you have been doing so and so and so and so. On the contrary also, on the contrary, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you, I wouldn't say here, I wouldn't attribute evil to Allah, if you fell in doing something haram, let's say you forgot one prayer to pray, you did look at haram, you did something, you committed something haram, you shouldn't talk about it. You shouldn't tell people about it. Cover it as Allah covered you. When Allah covers people with so that people are unaware of what the haram they're doing, why should you go in public and say, even in remorse, oh, yesterday I didn't pray Fajr. The day before I made a lie. The day before I said a swear word. The day before I looked at an undressed woman. The day before I did so. Why should you go in public to tell people the haram that you have been doing, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered you, satara alayk? So you yourself also cover yourself instead of going in public to tell people. To the extent that the ulama say that people, if they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they may make a lie. If someone asks you, for example, have you done something haram? Let's say, have you stolen money from someone? And you did in the past and you repented and you tried to return the money to people. You may say, no, alhamdulillah, I'm doing good. I don't do haram. Someone committed fornication in the past and someone is checking on them. Why should people check on them first? People shouldn't ask. People should be concerned about themselves. But here the question, would you be telling the truth, or you would cover yourself as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered you? You cover yourself. You don't tell that you have done something haram of the past. It's part of the adab, provided you have repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you're looking for the future. You're looking for a better future. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered you. It's our adab in general to cover people, the Muslim ummah. When we see that people are doing something haram, we take notice of it. We were exposed, or they were exposed to us, we cover them, we don't tell others, and we don't make them aware that we are have done. This is the adab that he's telling us here. He is not claiming any ranks, yet at the same time he's telling us that, well, I have done my fard. So you never be short of, sort of in public, that I'm not doing my fard. Of course, there's an exception. If you're asking how to make my missed prayers, then of course you may put it even in a different way. Someone missed his prayer. Is there any way, how many times should he pray every day? What are the recommended times for making up, for example? You don't ask for yourself that I did so and so and so. It's part of the general adab of the Sharia to cover yourself, not to embarrass yourself even in front of a sheikh. So, وَلَا تَزَوَّدْتُ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ نَافِلَةً. See how humble he is here. He says, I haven't prepared any supererogatory ibadah before death, nor did I fast. I haven't fasted. I haven't prayed and fasted more than the fard. Actually, if you abide by the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do your fara'id, your obligations, and the sunnahs recommended by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you leave al-kaba'ir, the major sins, you would go straight forward to al-jannah. But it's very difficult to maintain a state of purity in this time, in such an environment, even in Damascus here, if you don't struggle more, if you don't do any a lot of extras. You remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a Bedouin came, coming from the desert, living a simple way of life, he understood, he checked with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking about the obligations of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him about prayers, about five times a day, about fasting, about charity. His question was, is there anything I have to do? Rasulullah said, no. He said, I'm not going to do anything more, nor am I going to miss anything. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أفلح الأعرابي in صدق. This Bedouin will get falah, will get success, salvation, if he's true to his word. But he didn't have TV to watch. He didn't have people around him to backbite and to gossip and to say swear words. He wasn't exposed to any type of haram. Life was very simple, and it was governed also by the principles of ethics that Arabs had, high level of morals before Islam that Arabs maintained. Lying was shameful before Islam, before the message of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam started, Arabs, even Abu Sufyan, when he was the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met Caesar, Heraclius, in Damascus. He couldn't make one lie against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though it was his enemy, because he was in fear that people would tell Abu Sufyan made a lie. It was the level of ethics that Arabs had. So you could imagine, with that level of ethics, this Bedouin is praying five times a day, is fasting, is doing his ibadat, only the fard, and he's going to survive. But in our times now, it's very difficult to maintain fard and survive. This is why we need a lot of extras to struggle in this modern life. Then the following section, ظَلَمْتُ سُنَّةَ مَنْ أَحْيَى الظَّلَامَ إِلَى, he moves in the following section here towards talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in the course of his complaints about himself, describing himself, he says, I haven't done the sunnah of Rasulullah any justice. He said, I haven't prayed more than fard, so I'm not doing the sunnah of Rasulullah any justice. But instead of saying the sunnah of Rasulullah, he's saying the sunnah of the one who stood up all the nights till his feet were swollen. And he goes on to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sacrifice for Muslims, how much he sacrificed for us sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And from now on, it will be about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first section, second section, first section and second section are introductory to the poem. This is why the poem is of great impact, and the effect of it on people when they read it is of is so powerful, because of the experience of the poet, or what it appears to us that it is his own experience in his self-struggle in the beginning of this poem. The story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes vivid, different from the chronological narration of events from the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to the end of his life. Rather, it is put colorfully here in presenting like a person's life and a person's experience. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazallahu anna sayyidana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma huwa ahluh. Jazallahu anna sayyidana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma huwa ahluh. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد خاتم النبيين وإمام المرسلين, وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته أجمعين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك, ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك, ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشايخنا ولأرباب الحقوق علينا, وتقبل منا بجاه الحبيب الأعظم سيدنا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة والسلام. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين. الفاتحة.